All right, what's going on, everybody? This is End Time Headlines. Tonight, we have a powerful equipping message that we want to give you. This is going to be a very encouraging message. It's going to build up your hope, build up your faith, that when you reach the end of your race and you go on to be with the Lord, whatever that looks like, we want to let you know that there is an inheritance laid up for you in heaven. And today, we're going to show you the five crowns that are laid up in heaven that will be awarded at the Bema judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to talk about five books that you may not be aware of that are in heaven. So without further ado, let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? It is Thursday, November the 14th. I am Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines, and we want to welcome you to tonight's broadcast. We want to welcome you on Apple and Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from, and of course, you guys on Rumble and YouTube as well. If it's your first time joining us, let us know in the comment section below that you're new and where you guys are joining us from. So this is the 8 o'clock hour. And if you guys didn't catch our 2 p.m. Eastern broadcast, I want to reiterate something that I brought up there. What we've decided to do, we're making some changes to our ministry schedule. What we're going to do is our 2 p.m. Eastern segments are going to be our dedicated segments to our, what we call our prophecy viewpoint segments. And these are going to be news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. We're going to get you up to par with the latest headlines, things that are going on, events, and so on and so forth. That's going to be dedicated to our 2 p.m. Eastern hour. This hour right here, our 8 p.m. hour, this is what I like to call the deep end of the pool. And I'm not saying that if you only like the headlines of what, that you like treading the shallow water, but the 8 o'clock hour, this is going to be where you go and get equipped. You're going to get taught the word of God. And this is where you're really going to get, you know, built up in your faith. So that's why we're dedicating these 8 o'clock hours to these deep teachings like we're going to do tonight. So again, we love you guys. We appreciate you. We welcome you coming in here. Again, always do us a favor. Hit that like button. That's going to help get other eyes on our ministry. And then you guys take it a step further, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification so that you can keep up with this on these social media platforms. And also, guys, we want to encourage you, if you've not downloaded our free app, please do that by going to your app store. If you're listening by Apple or Spotify, just go to the app store, type in End Time Headlines, look for the official ETH logo, and that's how you're going to know it's us. Download the app, hit yes to push notifications. You guys that are watching this, in the description of this video, it says download our free app. Just click on that link, and it's going to take you to there as well, and it's going to walk you through it. And again, be sure to hit yes to push notifications, and then you're going to get every prophecy viewpoint. You're going to get every headline. You're going to get all these equipping messages, breaking news. Everything's going to be right at your fingertips. So you're going to need your Bible tonight. So you guys that are listening by Apple or Spotify, I'll give you a second to go grab your Bible, because we're going to do, again, if you're just joining us, we're going to talk about five crowns that are laid up in heaven for the believer when they finish their race that will be distributed at the judgment seat of Christ. We did a whole podcast on the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat of the believer. The believer, this is where, again, this takes place about mid-tribulation in heaven, where believers will be rewarded for what they did for Christ on earth. If you've not seen that podcast, go back to our archives, look through our YouTube archives. It's there. You're going to find it even here. You can go to our main website under where it says category, click on podcast. You can find it there as well. All right, so we're not going to go deep into that because we've already touched that. But again, these five crowns will be given there, okay? Number two, most people are familiar with the Book of Life or what we would call the Lamb's Book of Life. Almost everybody understands that because that is the directory, the registry of heaven, where in which your name has to be found on this book to even get entrance into heaven. So everybody understands this book, but did you know that there is four other books in heaven? Now, and we're gonna touch on all this tonight. So this is going to be a great equipping message. All right, so I want you to turn to the book of James, chapter 1, verse 12. We're going to start with the five crowns first, and then we'll go to the books. Okay, James 1, verse 12. James 1, verse 12. Here's what it says. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So in this passage, James tells us by revelation of the Lord that those who endure temptation and they endure to the end. Remember, Jesus said in the book of Matthew, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. But at the end of your race, if you endure the temptations, come on this earth, you come on, finish your race. You're faithful to the Lord. The Bible says that there will be a crown of life promised to those who love him. The promise to those who love him. So that's the first crown, is the crown of life. All right, then we have another crown, which is going to be given to believers who actively pursue a life of righteousness and faithfulness to God's commands. Okay, this is going to be found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Now look, this is Paul saying, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me, now he's talking about in heaven, the crown of righteousness. Okay, so this is the number two crown. This is the second crown. Paul says there's laid up for him at the end of his race in heaven, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also all who have loved his appearing. Wow. So why does he say given to those who love his appearing? Remember in 1 John, he says, abide in him that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So the context here, and this is what Paul is saying here, is that those who love his coming, his appearing, will strive, watch this, to honor the Lord, to serve him, to live righteously before him, to crucify and put the works, or put to death the works of the flesh. They die daily. They take up their cross, deny themselves, and follow after him. And for those who do such things, the Bible says, again, Paul made it clear that there will be laid up for them in heaven a crown of righteousness. So again, this is the second crown that the Bible speaks of. So you have the crown of life, you have the crown of righteousness. And now I want to show you that there is a crown that will be received by those who have led others to Christ and actively share the gospel. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? There's your third crown. Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? So Paul is saying that our hope and our joy is going to be the crown of rejoicing when we see you standing in the very place of heaven at the gates in the city of, come on, the new city, Jerusalem, in heaven, in the presence of God. So again, Paul is saying here that when we see our, when we see people come to the Lord, when we witness to them, we lead them to Christ, the Bible says that there will be a crown of rejoicing in heaven. But, wow, think about that, guys. So when you lead people to the Lord, there's crowns in heaven that will be laid up for you and given to you on that day. So this is the third crown. All right, now let's go to our fourth crown. This one can be found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over their entrusted, over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Watch this. And when the chief shepherd appears, come on, somebody tell me who that chief shepherd is. Yes, that's Jesus Christ. When he appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So this particular crown appears to be associated with those of leadership roles in the church. This will be awards given to faithful pastors, shepherds, and leaders who've diligently served their flock. No matter how large that church is or how small that church is, they will be rewarded for their faithfulness in shepherding that flock. Come on, somebody. That's an amazing revelation right there. All right. Then finally, our fifth crown. And it's going to be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 through 26. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things, and now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. He's talking about earthly races. For example, like a marathon, they run these races and they receive these rewards. They receive these trophies. And these are perishable crowns that you can't take those with you when you die. They're going to just rot. They're going to be given to somebody else. They're going to be sold in an auction, sold in a yard sale, whatever the case may be. But watch this. But we are running a race to obtain, watch this, an imperishable crown. So there's your fifth crown. And it's called an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus not with uncertainty. Thus, I fight not as one who beats the air. So what Paul is saying here is that there is what's called an imperishable crown laid up in heaven for those who finish the race and hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter in. Okay, so again, let's recap this before we move on to the books. You have five crowns that will be given at the judgment seat of Christ in heaven on that day. And they are the crown of life, the crown of righteousness, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of glory, and the incorruptible crown. Now, what are we going to do with all these crowns? All right, well, let's see. Well, let's show you what we're going to do with those crowns. Let's go to Revelation chapter 4. After these things, I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking. And by the way, just to throw this out, this is a little bit extra here. I believe Revelation chapter 4 right here is where John sees and experiences the rapture of the church. Because the Bible says, after these things, I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven. Watch all this. This is just a little bonus here, okay? I know we're talking about crowns still, but there will be a door standing open in heaven. There's a voice that speaks like a trumpet saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. So, and again, and in verse 2, he says, immediately I was in the spirit. Now let's, if this sounds familiar to you, because it is, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Now I just realized that I didn't have the scripture pulled up here, so let me pull it back up. Let me say this one more time. Revelation chapter 4. Now, we're going to show you what we're going to do with those crowns in heaven, but I want to show you this bonus because I've always loved this right here, because this is one of those passages when you compare these line on line and precept, it completely matches up, and I don't think it's a coincidence. All right, so here in Revelation 4, John is immediately, here's what happens, watch. Behold, I looked and there was a door standing in heaven. There is a trumpet speaking. So there's a voice that's speaking like a trumpet. Keep all this in mind. And the voice is saying, come up here. And then the Bible says immediately he was in the spirit. And the Lord says, I'm going to show you things that's going to take place after this. After what? What's this? This is him being hearing a trumpet, seeing a door, caught up in the spirit, and standing in heaven. And the Lord says, now I'm going to show you what's going to happen after this. Now, consequently, from Revelation chapter 4 on, the church is nowhere to be mentioned again. Again, in the Greek sense of ecclesia, the church is missing from the entire tribulation. Why? Because that's why, again, I believe the rapture takes place, Revelation chapter 4. Now, look, keep in mind, a door in heaven, a voice speaking like a trumpet, saying, come up here, and immediately in the spirit. Now, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm trying to do this quick because I'm taking a rabbit trail, a detour, but I promise y'all get us back. Watch this. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. So you now there's a voice associated with a trumpet. Same thing that John said, Revelation 4. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Remember, John says, I was in the spirit. So he's there on earth. He sees this and immediately he's taken up into heaven in the spirit. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Consequently, there was a voice, Revelation 4, said, come up here. And again, voice as a trumpet of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. The comfort is, friends, that we have not been appointed unto wrath, but to obtain salvation to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So again, now let me go back to Revelation. Now you can do what you want with that, but I think that's extremely intriguing. And I think it's awesome. When I read that, I was one of the first revelations I ever got on the rapture. And I can't ignore that. There's too many quote unquote coincidences in that. All right, but let's read on here. Let's go to verse 4. So now John is in heaven, and he's seeing all this, right? Around the throne, there were 24 thrones, and on the thrones, I saw 24 elders. Again, this is 12 from the old and 12 from the new, by the way, sitting, clothed in white robes. Look at this. They had crowns of gold on their heads. Now, what are these crowns? We just went over this. Crowns, plural tense. There's 5 crowns in heaven, okay? That's, if you've been paying attention, we just went over that. And from the throne proceeds lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Again, 7 lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Now, ready? Watch this. All right, let's go ahead. So they all down here, and the living creatures show up, and then they all start singing, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. But let's go to Revelation, Revelation 4:9. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders, watch this, fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And look what this, watch this, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. You created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Y'all see this? So why do we want crowns, Brother Ricky? Because those crowns represent what we did for the Lord on earth, and those are our rewards. And then when we get to heaven, we will take those crowns and we will lay them down. We will cast them down before the very feet of Christ at the throne. It's a form of worship. David said, I will not come. I will not give the Lord anything that didn't cost me something. We should never come into the presence of the Lord empty handed. Okay. So this is an expression of worship. They're giving their crowns. Come on, to the Lord in an expression of worship in heaven. All right. Now this is going to be our foundational scripture for the 5 books in heaven. That's what we're going to talk about. 5 books in heaven. So let's go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. I'm going to pull this up so you guys can follow along. Revelation 20, verse 12, if you have your Bible. Here's what it says. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books, plural tense. Y'all see this? Not book, but books were open, and another book was opened, okay, which is the book of life. Now, this is the one that everybody's familiar with. Now again, this judgment right here in Revelation 20:12 is called the Great White Throne Judgment. Again, we did a whole podcast on this. This is not the judgment seat of Christ. This is the Great White Throne Judgment. We will not be judged here because we will be judged in heaven. This is, watch this, it tells you here, and the dead were judged according to the works by the things which were written in the books. All right, let's read on. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades, by the way, these are demonic prince spirits, and the underworld and hell delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. And then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now look at this. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now there's two things to point out here. Number one is there's books, plural tense, in heaven. Number two, we can affirm that we know that one book is called the book of life. Again, the book of life. This is the one that everybody is familiar with. Now, this book in the Old Testament, this was called the book of life. But in the New Testament, it's called the Lamb's book of life. It's the same book. But watch this, and you had the Old Covenant and New Covenant. And the New Covenant, we are redeemed through the blood of Jesus. In the Old Covenant, you were redeemed by earthly sacrifices of animals that was carried out by the high priest on the Day of Atonement. But come on, in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, Jesus Christ became the high priest of the profession of our faith, spilling his own blood for the remission of our sins. All right, let's show you some references to this in the Old Testament first. So let me go here. All right, this is Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, Michael shall stand up. This is Michael the archangel, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. This is Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. He's talking about the tribulation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Now watch this. Everyone who is found written in the book. Okay, what's he talking about? He's talking about, again, the book of life or the Lamb's book of life that will later on be. Now, guys, I'm not going to show you all of these because it would take way too long, but you can find these. These are references. Moses referenced this book. God referenced this book to Moses. They had a dialogue to one another, and they referenced this book. But let me show you a New Testament example of this. All right, let's go to Luke chapter 10, verse 19 through 21. Watch this. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by shall any means harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. Watch this, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, how are they written in heaven? It's called the book of life. They're written in this registry of heaven called the book of life. All right, here's another reference by the Apostle Paul to the church of Philippi when he wrote there here in Philippians 4:3, and I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. There you go. Now, I'm about to share something with you since we're on this book of life. I'm going to share something that's going to be very controversial to some of you because of what you've been taught by your denomination or your preacher or whatever. But let's get into this. Let me show you some scriptures about this book. All right, Revelation 3:5. Remember, this is addressed to the churches, okay? This is not the world. This is addressed to church members. This is a church addressed to one of the seven churches of Asia. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. Whoa. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Notice that he equates overcoming to not getting your name blotted out from the book of life in heaven. All right, look what David said here. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. What's he talking about here? David is referencing a book wherein which names can be blotted out. Here's another one, Exodus 32:32-33. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray. Now, this is Moses and the Lord having a, they're having a very heated, I guess you could say, a discussion between about the children of Israel who had sinned against God. Okay. And God is threatening to wipe them out. And listen to what Moses said. And yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, look at this, blot me out of your book, which you have written. Again, why would Moses, two things. One, Moses understood that there was a book in heaven that had names in it. Number two, he understood that names could be blotted out of this book. All right. Psalm 69:27-28, add iniquity to their iniquity and let them not come into your righteousness. Let them be, look at this, blotted out of the book of the living. All right. I'm going to keep going, guys, because I'm telling you, there is people that teach this. They don't teach you this stuff, but this is stuff you can't ignore. All right. Revelation 22:18-19. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part. Look at this. God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which were written in this book. Here is another one. Yet another church is addressed, another one of the seven churches of Asia. Revelation 3. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. Guys, don't tell me, don't you send me ugly emails and messages and comments saying that you can't get your name blotted out of the book. I just gave you like six scriptures that tells you that names can be put in this book, but names can be blotted out of the book. Now, you can do what you want with that, but I am obligated to tell you that. So I am telling you this today, that the Bible makes it abundantly clear that, number one, there is a book of life. This is one of five books in heaven. And number two, not only is this have names in it, but it also tells us clearly that names can be blotted out of this book as well. All right, book number two, you ready? It's called the Book of the Living. There's the Book of Life, and then there's called the Book of the Living. Now, what in the world is this, Brother Ricky, the Book of the Living? Well, let me show you what it is. All right, King David references this book in his writings in Psalm 139:15-16. Here it is, ready? My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. So what he's saying is here, before you were even formed in the womb. Hello, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. The Lord formed him. Before he was even in the womb, the Lord knew him. That's another, we'll get to that scripture in just a second, but watch this. My frame was not hidden. I was made in secret. I was skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And look at this. In your book, they all were written. In your book, they all were written. The days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. Whoa. Again, David references a book in heaven wherein which all of our days were fashioned before we were ever conceived on earth. It appears that this book in heaven, I know this is going to be mind-blowing to some people. It appears that this book is a book that reveals the destinies of all human beings that would ever be born on earth. Yes, that's right. Every one of you, you, me, and anyone listening or watching, your name, you think you came by accident or you were planned. No, I'm talking about earthly terms. You were already known in heaven. God, in the mind of God, in a book in heaven, God had a plan for you. He had a purpose for you. He had a destiny for you. And in the process of time, again, don't ask me to explain all this, guys, because if I could, then we wouldn't need God. God is God. He is sovereign. But in his divine sovereignty, in his divine ways in which the Bible says, what does Isaiah say? His ways are above ours and his thoughts are above our thoughts. But in the fullness of time, whenever that time came that the Lord would destine for us to be born for such a time as this, let me show you this. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Look what Jeremiah was told by God. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were even formed in your womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Wow, guys. So the revelation that God gave Jeremiah and to all of us is that before we were ever formed and born on earth, God had already knew who we were. And there's a book in heaven where our names and our destinies are inscribed in this. And notice this. He says, you're sanctified before you were born and I ordained you. In other words, God already knew, guys. This is so profound. He already knew what your gifts and your talents and your calling was going to be. Now, this doesn't mean, listen to me, I am not advocating for predestination as in God creates vessels of destruction and God creates vessels for redemption. And or let me translate this again. I'm not saying that God creates people to go to hell. They were destined to go to hell. And then God created people and these groups would be saved, but these people would be lost. No, the Bible makes it clear. Choose this day whom you shall serve. But what I am saying is this, and this is the best illustration I've ever, that I can think of as far as an analogy on this. I remember back in school, and I've used this before, so some of y'all remember this. I remember back in school, we would get these books, and they'd be about that yay thick, and you would turn to the beginning, the introduction of the book, and it would say something to the effect of, if you would like to, it'll tell you a storyline, and then it'll say, if you want to go right, turn to page 34. If you want to go left, turn to page 15. So depending, watch this, which direction you choose. Are you hearing me? Depending on your actions will determine the end of the book or the outcome. Okay? So if you make the wrong choices, you go in the wrong direction, you get hung up with the wrong people, and you veer off course. And the Bible says the backslider in heart will be filled with all of his ways. Then you know what happens? You will not fulfill God's destiny for your life. Remember Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah says, the Lord speaks to Jeremiah and says, for I know the thoughts that I have toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of good and to give you a future and to give you a hope and to give you an expected end. Okay, but then right after it, he says, seek me and search me and I will be found by you when you seek and search for me with all of your heart. Remember, and this is why Solomon said in his writings in Ecclesiastes, why should you die before your time? Again, just because God has a destiny written in a book in heaven, he has our purpose written in a book in heaven, he has the number of our days registered in heaven in this book before we were ever created, doesn't mean we will fulfill those because again, he didn't create us to be puppets. He's given us a free will. But what he's saying is, if you will walk according to my ways, you will surrender your life to me. You will walk in righteousness. This is why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not into your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Then you know what's going to happen? You're going to finish your race and you're going to complete and fulfill what God has always purposed for you in your life. All right, book number three. Y'all ready for book number three? It's going to be found in Psalms chapter 56, verse 8. Let's go there. All right, here we go. All right. You number, listen what the psalmist says here. You number my wanderings and you put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? So again, here is a yet another book referenced in heaven. And it appears here that this book contains the tears of individuals stored up in heaven. I did some research on this and discovered that in the Bible, ancient Eastern cultures, mourners would often collect tears as a tangible expression of grief and sorrow. This practice is tied to the use of small vessels, sometimes called tear bottles, where people would cry into these small glass or clay bottles, symbolizing their pain and honoring the deceased. Some of these tear bottles have been found in ancient tombs, indicating that they may have been buried with the loved ones as a way to carry the mourner's sorrow into the afterlife. Now, again, that sounds a little bit outside of the realm of what the Bible talks about. But again, we can't deny it, guys. Psalms 56:8, the Bible says that God stores our tears in bottles and they are stored in these books. Again, if you're going to ask me to explain all this in detail, I'm not going to be able to do that because we're given limited knowledge and understanding of this. But I do want to show you, or I won't even take you there. I will tell you this, though. In 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1 through 5, 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 5, there's a story about a king by the name of Hezekiah. He was sick unto death. The prophet showed up to him to tell him, thus saith the Lord, get your house in order. But the Bible says when he was given a death sentence, Hezekiah began to weep bitterly, and he turned his face towards Jerusalem to the wall, and he prayed, saying, Lord, remember me now, I pray, and how I've walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight. And the Bible says that Hezekiah wept bitterly. And what's interesting is in verse 5, the Lord says, quote, I have heard your prayer and I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. Guys, again, it appears to me. Oh, and this is so powerful. Think about it. All of the tears that you and I have shed, either through intercession, through prayers, through hurts, through heartaches, through setbacks, through disappointments, through breakups, through divorces, through travesties, tragedies, accidents, deaths, and the list goes on. All of those tears. No wonder the Bible says, weeping endureth for the night, but joy comes in the morning, because God sees. Not only does he see your tears, but he records those tears and they are put in a book in heaven so he can see them before him. All right, number four, book number four. There is what appears to be what's called the Book of Deeds and Works. The Book of Deeds and Works. Now, I'm not going to turn here because I already have. You can find this Revelation 20, verse 12. It says that there will be books, plural tense, that will be opened, and the dead will be judged according to their works and the things which were written in those books. In the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 10, it talks about that there will be books opened in the courtroom of heaven. So these books, or this book, appears to contain the actions, the deeds, the very words that we've spoken. Remember, the Bible says that every idle word that we give we'll have to give an account for. So this book has the actions, the deeds, the words that we have spoken. Angels are sent here on earth to watch and record these things. The book of Daniel calls these watchers. Remember in the book of Genesis chapter 19, when those angels came because they had heard in heaven of the deeds that were going on. So the Lord sent them to go and document the deeds and works that were going on earth and to report it back. So again, and then you go to the book of Genesis, where Jacob was in Bethel. He sees a vision, he has a dream with a ladder that is ascending and descending into heaven. And there's angels coming down and taking something from earth and bringing it back up and then coming down and then bringing it back up. Again, guys, it appears that there is, again, number four, the book of deeds and works. What we do matters. This is how, again, when we stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, how do you think this is the book that's going to be open where all of our works will be judged by wood, hay, stubble, or gold or silver? It's going to be tried by fire. Remember that? So all of this, so this is where all this is in context at. All right. And then number five, we're almost done. We're not going to keep you very long tonight. Number five is going to be an interesting book. It's called the Book of Remembrance. Now here's where this book is referenced. This is going to be in Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Here's what it says. And then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who, look, fear the Lord and meditate upon his name. And they shall be mine. Who's they? Those who fear the Lord and meditate on his name and are found in this book of remembrance. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on that day that I make up my jewels. Notice what he says here. I will spare them. Everybody's got you. It's amazing to me. All these people teach, work, the heads are going to roll. Believers are going to be, God's going to cast his judgment and his wrath on these believers because they're going to go through the tribulation. Their blood's going to spill. Their heads are going to roll. I mean, this is what they teach. Yet here in Malachi, the Lord tells us there's a book of remembrance for those who fear him and meditate on his name. And then he goes on and says, the Lord is going to spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Now notice here, he says that they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I will make them my jewels. He's referencing a specific day and a specific time frame that these people who are found in this book of remembrance that fear the Lord and meditate on his name, they will be spared. And then when they are spared, look what it says. Then you shall gain discernment between the ones who are righteous and the wicked, the one who serves God and the one who doesn't serve him. Guys, come on. You guys are smarter than that. Can you not see that God rewards the righteous and he judges the wicked? Can you not see that there's a distinction between those who serve him and those who don't? Notice he's not sparing those who are not serving him. Again, it makes no sense, guys, if you teach and believe that God is going to take his bride and thrust her into the tribulation and make her go through the wrath of God where he is pouring out the bowls, the vials, and all the judgments so that she could be chastised through the tribulation and her head roll and all of this. Makes no sense. And again, it's contrary to the scriptures. God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a book in heaven, guys, called the Book of Remembrance. Okay, and I'm going to show you the best place that this is referenced is in Acts chapter 10. This is the best place where you can see this book come to play here. Acts chapter 10. Now this, in context, is about a centurion man. He is of an Italian regiment. He is the first Gentile that would be saved in the New Testament. He's called Cornelius. Now, the Bible describes this man as a devout man. I'm in Acts 10:2. He is a devout man. He is one who fears God with all of his household. He gives generously, and he's a prayer warrior. He's always praying. And the Bible says at the ninth hour of the day, clearly in a vision, an angel of God comes to him, calls him by name, and says to him, look what the angel says to Cornelius, your prayers and your alms or your giving have come up as a memorial or come up for a memorial before God. Bottom line, this is referencing that book in heaven. So Isn't that not powerful, guys? This is amazing. So again, there is five crowns in heaven that will be rewarded to the believers at the judgment seat of Christ. And there is five books in heaven. Now let's recap these books. You have the book of the living, which is, this is where everyone who would ever be born on earth, it's there. This is the book of destiny. And again, it can be changed and altered based on your decision. The book of destiny. Number two, you have the book of life. This is the registry of heaven. You get your name inscribed in this book when you become born again through faith in Jesus Christ. Number three, you have the book of works and deeds. The books of works and deeds, all of what we do before the Lord will all be recorded. And then again, this is referenced by the Apostle Paul in the book of Corinthians, where it says that every man's work will be tried by fire, whether it stands as wood, hay, whether it stands as gold, silver, wood, hay, or stubble. Okay. Is it going to stand in by the fire of God? Then you have the book of tears. Well, again, the psalmist referenced that, said that there's a book in heaven that stores the tears of the saints. And then number five, you have the book of remembrance. So guys, I hope this has been, this is one of them things you can use for your Bible studies. You can do whatever you want. You can do your own personal studies on this, but I hope this is a message that will bless you and it will encourage you and it will equip you. And of course, guys, as always, if you like content like this, if it's of value to you, you'd like to see more of this, again, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification. And above that, take it above a step further, download our free app, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go and have all of that right at your fingertips. So you can not miss any one of our podcasts or any of our updates or anything like that. And again, guys, if this ministry blesses you, encourages you, equips you, all of the above, we want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app, through the website, right there on YouTube at the top where it says support in bold letters. You can click. There's a link right there. Or you can give by check or money order. And you can do that at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So, guys, we're going to sign off for tonight. And we'll be back here tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern, for our information arm of our ministry. We'll get you up to date on whatever topic we feel like that we need that pertains to the current hour that we're in. So we'll be looking for that at 2 p.m. Eastern. And then again, Lord willing, we'll be right back here tomorrow night, Friday, November 15th, 8 p.m. Eastern, and we'll have another equipping message like this. So until then, I pray the Lord bless you, keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you on the next one.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.